And it's 25 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock, and here we are on a Wednesday morning, and someone who is a regular brings a lot of information to us when he makes his monthly appearance, and I'm talking about Jonathan Harris, who is the Connecticut Consumer Protection Commissioner, and great to see you, Commissioner.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Dan. Happy spring, I think.
Yeah, happy spring. Although I'm told it's colder more than ever out there.
The wind started a little while ago, a little snow squall, but it is spring.
It's coming. You get a lot of calls from our listeners, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We do, and we love it. I mean, we're out there to, first and foremost, in a cost-effective way, one of our strategies is empower consumers with information. Knowledge is power. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The more that we can help consumers and businesses know what they're facing, the risks, and how to avoid problems, the more cost-effective we are for government, and we avoid people getting hurt.
Now, what is the biggest issue? The biggest issue as far as your department is concerned?
Well, our biggest issue is really kind of a macro issue. It's how we do more with less, but more importantly, how we do it better. We have so much on our plate. We actually regulate all food safety, all weights and measures, small scales in grocery stores, the big weight scales for asphalt or for weigh stations, all alcoholic liquor, all drugs, cosmetics, and medical devices. So those are pharmaceutical companies, pharmacies. Under that, we have the medical marijuana program that we've talked about here, a growing program. We are involved with the opioid crisis, trying to help prevent that through getting Narcan out, you know, the opioid antagonist.
Is that working?
It is spreading, and it is working. We are out there with drop boxes. We now have 72 drop boxes and police stations for people to dispose of their old medications. We run the prescription drug management program, which monitors all prescribing history. We issue over 230 different credential types at any time, 280,000 or so occupational professional licensing, whether it's real estate agents, plumbers, registrations of home improvement contractors. We are in charge of all legal gaming, the casinos, off-track betting, and lottery. We are in charge of all charities, product safety, whether it's mattresses or toy safety. And we have the catch-all, the Unfair Trade Practices Act. We're the market regulators. We're not just consumer protection. We're there to provide a level playing field for good businesses to compete. We do all that with only 212 employees, down from 252, so a 50-person cut over the last 5 years. We've cut 13% in our budget in just the last year.
So you're leaner.
We're leaner, but the good news is not only are we doing more because we've been given a lot more stuff to do, but we do it better because of the way we approach it. We view our job not just as regulators, but as taxpayers. I pay taxes in the state of Connecticut. So do all the staff. And we are stewards of their hard-earned dollars.
You know, one thing, Commissioner, and I'm going to be honest with you, the complaints that we get when we get them about the state, because compared to some of these other states, is that, you know, they have so many employees, they've got an executive here, an executive there, but I know for a fact what you have done since you took over, and you have really, and for what the folks that are there, hard workers, but you have cut a great deal. You really have since you started.
Well, we've had to, but that's, you know, my parents, my grandparents taught me you have to work hard and do what is right every day, whether you're in a bad situation or a good situation. We've needed to. We have a theory called focused government. Basically, our mission is to protect public health and safety and to prevent economic harm to businesses and consumers. If it doesn't significantly advance that mission, then we should not be doing it. It's like government in a lot of ways has become like a spork. Have you used a spork before?
What is a spork? Sounds like a combination of spoon and fork.
It is. If you get them at, you know, different convenience stores to eat, well, it tries to be everything for everybody, and it's not very good at either thing. So we've decided we're going to pick. Are we a spoon or are we a fork? And we're going to be the best spoon or fork we can. We're not going to try to do everything for everybody, because that's where government falls on its face. I've had 27 years of experience, not only as a public servant, but in the private sector as an attorney. I've owned my own firm. I've owned a real estate business. Actually was regulated by the Department of Consumer Protection. I've seen things from both sides. Government can and must play an important role in people's lives, but it can't. It shouldn't try to do everything. That's where we fall short.
Talking with Jonathan Harris, Connecticut Consumer Protection Commissioner, in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. I'm glad you mentioned mattresses, because I got a call from a listener not too long ago saying there's almost not incentive to go and buy, let's say, a couple of new mattresses for a house because of all the fees that are involved. So what's the price? Isn't there a disposable fee or something?
Yeah,
what's
there
involved?
Is a fee added. We don't deal with that because that's through the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to cover the cost of recycling mattresses. I believe there's a $9 fee or something when you to dispose of your old mattress.
Okay.
And that's what that goes to. I've looked into that just personally because I was curious about it, just like everyone's curious about if you rip off that tag, whether you're going to get the police to come out, which is not the truth. That we do with the registration. But that money appears to be going towards recycling. So I think there's some benefit to fees like that. The problem is, and this is where we get into licensing, is that there are legitimate charges that people should have to do good things. But one, it has to go towards actually doing that good thing, not be put into the general fund and doing something else. And you have to have confidence in that. And it can't just be a money grab. As I said, it has to fit into the mission, which ours is public health and safety and preventing economic harm. If it doesn't do that, there are a lot of licenses, and there is a bill out there that we've been working on. A governor has promoted this. Majority Leader Duff, and on the other side of the aisle, Senator Witkos, Chairman Witkos, have a bill, and we've given a lot of licenses that we think will be more money grabs than actually providing health and safety to the people of Connecticut. We should not do that. That's a waste of money. It's a waste of time.
Again, those are the complaints, though, Dan. License, and more licenses.
What are some of the big consumer complaints your department gets?
Well, the biggest one typically, except for at times when there are telecommunications complaints that come up, they rear their head. But the biggest one consistently is home improvement contractors. There are problems with workmanship, payments, breaches of contract with that. And so we urge all consumers to do their homework before hiring a home improvement contractor. First, are they registered with the Department of Consumer Protection? Now, registration, unlike licensing, doesn't provide any guarantee of experience or training. I could go out and get registered as a home improvement contractor right after I leave your studio here. You wouldn't want me fixing most things in your house. But it does provide some level of legitimacy because they've put their name on the record in the public. But more importantly, if a homeowner has a problem with a home improvement contractor and they sue them and they get a judgment and can't recover that judgment, they can come to the department and apply for up to $15,000 from the Home Improvement Guarantee Fund, which is created by parts of the fees that the contractors pay in to register. So it actually is kind of an insurance plan for homeowners. There's a new home construction program, too, where you can get up to $30,000. So make sure you do your homework, get references, make sure that the home improvement contractor does the type of work you want. They might be great at putting on a deck, but have they ever fixed your roof or someone's roof? Make sure they're registered. Never pay them all up front. Just be careful. Be a smart consumer.
I would imagine when someone goes door to door, you as a consumer should also perhaps take that into account and do their research as to what they have in the way of licensing, et cetera. Right?
Yeah, take their information. You know, sometimes it's best not to open the door nowadays, but, you know, take their information. If it's something that you think that you might want, because there are legitimate businesses, usually they have to register with the town, like in West Hartford. You actually have to get a commercial pass from the police department, and I believe wear a badge still to go door-to-door. But never react to someone at the door, on the phone, via text or email. Never give out money right away. Never give out personal information. Don't let people in your house. But if it's some service you want, find out what the company is. Go right to the source. See if it's legitimate. Ask friends, family members, neighbors. Get references. Don't do anything quickly. There is almost always, 99.99% of the time, no need to rush on any transaction.
Now, folks listening today, and every time that you come in, and you're in once a month, Commissioner, you give us a phone number where they, you know, they're listening now, and maybe they have heard something that they want to talk about or want to get some information on. Where do they call and get some response?
You can always go onto our website, of course, ct.gov/DCP, and find out about all these areas that we help protect consumers and businesses, and email us complaints. You got all that information. But I always like to give my office number. It's 860-713-6050.
That's terrific. That really is.
Yeah. How's the medical marijuana program going?
Oh, it's growing by 100, 200 patients a year, a week. We had, back when it started about 2.5 years ago, there were 1,400 patients. We have now approaching 17,500. There were 80 physicians that were certifying patients. Now we have APRNs added, and with physicians, we have approaching 700 medical professionals certifying. The number of really serious diseases, from cancer to AIDS, sickle cell, multiple sclerosis, ALS is expanding. We have 22 now. It started at 11. 6 for minors, very serious debilitating conditions for minors. That we're going to add 1 to minors within the next year, and 4 more to the adults. So it's doing well, and it's created 300 good jobs in the state, actually more probably, when you take into account the labs. It's a very secure program, and we are the first state in the nation, as of October 1 of 2016, to have a formal research program that will not only supply the information to back up this good health care choice, another choice for people suffering to make with their doctor and medical professional, but will also help to create Connecticut as perhaps the focal point for this type of research, which has an economic benefit too. So in public policy, you always like to get the multiplier effect. 2 good things out of 1 program.
So you're nearing 17,000 then.
You're over
17,000.
Wow.
And again, what's involved in order for people to legitimately be able to get marijuana for medicinal purposes?
You have to go to for adults, you have to go to a physician that you have a bona fide physician-patient relationship with. They have to make a medically reasonable assessment that you have one of the debilitating conditions, the serious diseases. They have to determine that the benefits outweigh the detriments, and they have to say, you know, either we have prescribed another drug or it wouldn't be beneficial to. And then you register, you pay $100, and you have just like kind of what a prescription would be, but we can't have a prescription because the federal government still says that medical cannabis is a Schedule I drug, meaning they recognize no medicinal value. Connecticut, it's a very serious, highly regulated scheduled drug, but Schedule II because it recognizes medicinal value. And they can go for that year and get medicine. A lot of it is not, most of it is not smoked now. There's a lot of innovation. There are gel caps. There are sublinguals or topical oils, there's edibles, there's vaporizing, which is much healthier for you. And so there's a lot of ways to deliver it, and a lot of the medicine doesn't get you high, actually. It's not what people think. It's not Cheech and Chong. A lot of it is low levels of THC. The other 84 chemicals in the cannabis plant actually have a lot of benefit for people that are suffering. And so people should explore it. It's not what you think.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, again, Jonathan, it's always great to have you here with us. And there's so much information that you have covered. And again, I can't believe some of the figures, though.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's just in a few months.
It is, and that's why, as we're doing more with us, we've done process improvements. So we've taken the time it takes to respond to a complaint from 6 to 8 weeks down to 24 hours. We've been able to shorten the time to license the 15,000 casino workers attached to the gaming floor from 7 to 9 months down to 2 months. That's not only helped the state, it has helped the casinos because they have less staff involvement. So we're helping a business on that way. And that's why we're trying to get rid of things that don't make sense, that don't advance our mission. That's why this year we're asking the legislature to help us out and have us not regulate bingos, bazaars, charitable games.
Okay.
Jonathan Harris, Connecticut Consumer Protection Commissioner. Give him a call, 860-713-6050.